Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pursuit Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Antonaire. We hope you had a great holiday season, and we're excited to share our first episode for 2023. In this week's episode, Ben and I made a trip to our OBETS location to speak with two of our firearms instructors, Mark Leach and Linda Wilson. First, we dive into our shooting range and what we do to keep our customers and our staff members safe. Then we get into some of the classes that we offer and how our customers can find the best fit for them. And of course, we discuss how our customers and firearm owners in general need to continue training after initial classes or firearm purchase. Please welcome Mark Leach and Linda Wilson. Like I just mentioned on the intro, we are here today with Linda Wilson and Mark Leach here at our OBETS location right in front of the range. So that might be a little giveaway of what we're going to be talking about today. But guys, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We appreciate the offer and the invite.
Yeah. So today we wanted to kind of address, what we offer here as a range, and then especially in your case, Linda, just on the training side as well. I know we've had you on before. I don't recall what episode that was off the top of my head, though.
It was one of the first 10.
Yeah, I was going to say. So yeah. Definitely go back and check that out, because Linda was definitely hitting some people with some really helpful stuff in terms of situational awareness and training and drawing your weapon 100 times every morning before you come to work. And
I think maybe that was 100 times a week. I don't know. Or is it 100 times a day?
No, it's not 100 times a day. But in a week, at least 100.
Yeah.
She's slacking on us.
No.
I don't think I've drew my weapon 100 times all year. Again, thanks for coming on. And Mark, we're going to go ahead and start with you. So what I wanted to kind of address is, this is a great location. We have tons of stuff, but the main reason why we have this is this range is behind us is just awesome. I mean, just awesome. And there's a lot of work that goes into keeping that guy running all the time and being safe for our customers. If you can, let's go ahead and dive into just the range itself, what kind of technology we have, what kind of experience the customer can have, and then we'll get into some of that safety stuff as well.
All right. Well, thank you. Yes, our range is 24 lanes. We have 8 separate bays. Eight lanes per bay, 3 bays total. Total of 24 lanes. 16 of those are rifle rated up to 300 win. So you can come in, you can bring your rifle, you can test, you can check your zero. You can get a little bit of practice, run a bolt, run an AR, whatever platform that you want to run that on. It also gives you an opportunity to come in and enjoy a nice climate-controlled environment without worrying about rain, snow. We have range staff here to help. If you have any questions, any issues with your firearm, we have trainers, certified instructors, and range safety officers that can come in and help you and give you guidance. We offer all kinds of programs. Linda's alluded to before, we'll talk about later on our training staff.
Yeah. And so one thing that Kevin had mentioned this to us before, and I don't really realize, but as we're here, you guys are inevitably going to hear some of this fan noise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lead being thrown off in that range right there. And I don't think people realize just how much we actually do to keep our customers safe. If you want to touch on that just a little bit, too.
Absolutely. In the United States, lead is second only to asbestos in exposure levels and concerns. And everybody knows about the asbestos levels. Lead is the same way. The good thing about us for lead is if you're aware of what you're doing, it's very easy to control and keep safe.
Sure.
The first part is a big misinformation out there as far as lead. There's only two ways that you can get it in your system. You either have to breathe it or eat it. If you don't breathe it, you don't eat it. Excuse me. You're good there. On our range, as you talk about with the HVAC system, there are restrictions on how much air has to be moved downrange away from the shooters to keep people safe. We exceed that extremely in all levels. We make sure that any exposure to lead, any discharge from the firearm, everything is moved away from the shooter towards the bullet trap. That's why there's a red line there on the floor.
Sure.
That red line, for one, shows us safety. Anything past there, weapon charge, discharge, obviously a safety factor, worried about people getting hurt, but also that lead starts to build up right at that point and move forward. The farther down range you get, it becomes more dependent. As far as keeping our customers safe, Yes. You come in for an hour and shoot the lead. Is there a risk of contamination? Absolutely. I would never tell you not. Okay. But we minimize that. If your gear is contaminated or brought in there, just keep it separate. We joke about it all the time. Don't go home and lick your range bag.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, keep your stuff separate. Understand that there's going to be some lead residue. Wash your hands really good when you're done. If you're in there for an extended period of time, and I'm more or less addressing our staff than our customers, because we don't have customer staff. Some of our training goes on for 6 to 8 hours. Then I tell the customer, go home, take a cold shower. Get that lead away from you and protect yourself. But our standard range customers, you are completely safe. Come in, shoot, enjoy yourself. We'll get you taken care of. For our staff, because of the dangers of lead, we have a medical monitoring program. Everybody's levels are checked once they start working and checked every 6 months for the duration. And if there are any levels that go above anywhere, we run on 25% of OSHA standards. So if somebody comes in 25% of what OSHA says is dangerous, we pull them away.
Okay.
We watch that lead and we put them back into safe levels before they're allowed to go back in the range or have any customers. And that's not just our instructor staff. That's anybody that works on a range, whether they're running a cash register, whether they're running as a range safety officer, whether they're renting our firearms, anything that they're doing, maintenance that we do, we'll talk a little bit briefly. But those kind of things are in place, especially for our customer base. But we can't support our customer base the way we want to if we don't protect our staff. And that's a priority for us also.
No, I'm glad you touched on that too, though, because that's something that, I mean, I don't even really think about. I don't know about you, but like...
Well, I've sat in on a bunch of classes, yeah. And I mean, I don't know how many have you
no,
even sat in.
No, I haven't. I need to. Yeah. Linda's probably going to like punch me after because I haven't. But
well, actually, yeah, I might.
I know we've sent invites to you all the time.
Yes.
I know. We need to. We need to for sure. That would be fun.
I also filmed the range staff training videos with Ray, so I've pretty much heard the whole spiel that everybody gets when they're a range employee. So
yeah, poor Kelly, she's just on loop back here all the time.
No,
I'm glad you mentioned some of the training. So Linda, we're going to bring you in here on this because I was in on Saturday and there were some, excuse my French, but some badass women in the ladies only concealed carry class that day when I was in here. That was awesome to get a chance to watch you guys just kind of interact with them. If you can, let's talk about some of the training classes that we have. I know you've talked about some before when we were on, but maybe just starting with just your basic stuff and just kind of into that more advanced stuff that we have.
Sure, yeah. Saturday was a lot of fun. It's very fun for me to always do those ladies-only classes. You know, they have questions that they don't want to ask in front of men, so it's good for us to have female instructors on staff, and we're one of the few ranges around that do have at least one. We actually have three females on staff, so it's really fun and good for me. And you know, when you're going into a class and you're the only female, it can be a little intimidating.
Sure.
And we talk about that with them too. It's like, you know what, just do it. So we start with the basics. So with the National Shooting Sports Foundation 2-hour class, we talk about safety always for firearm safety rules. We get into the gun parts and pieces and how they operate so they can understand that. And then put the fundamentals together and put them in the range and have them shoot a little bit. So we do a basic handgun class, a basic AR class, so people can actually learn what AR means and and how fun they are to shoot.
Not assault rifle.
Exactly. Right. Not assault rifle.
She was thinking, I'll just say it.
Yes. So, but training is so important to advancing your skills, Jordan. Taking training classes.
It is.
Right?
I'll take a hit there, too. I haven't been training.
You know, I knew that we were going to have this conversation. So, last night, I had one of the gun vault small ones, like, underneath my nightstand. And I was thinking, I was like, Linda's going to yell at me about that. I'm, like, thinking in my head, like, if I needed to use that right now, I would have no idea. I'm like, first of all, I'd be asleep. And secondly, I haven't had the practice because I knew I was going to talk to her and she's like queen practice.
You need to get that biometric thumb scanner that drops down and you can just grab it right out of there, bolt it to the side of your nightstand.
Well, I do know where I can get them.
Yep.
Absolutely. So. They're right down the hallway here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's practice. Important at home, especially to keep your firearms safe. Yep. You know, you have little ones in your house, and they are very curious and can find things and see how they work way too fast. So I'm happy that you do have that safe, but you do have to practice with it, you know. Have your wife yell and scream at you and try to open that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
And the stress that causes. Because the stress of the situation is when it's going to get you in trouble when you don't have training.
Sure. Sure. Right. And I think, I mean, we kind of feel that a little bit. I mean, fighting for your life is probably going to be a little bit different. But, like, that adrenaline dump that you get when you hunt, I can feel like, you know, like, things aren't cloudy. You know, what happened in that situation? And that's just shooting a deer, let alone, like, trying to defend your family. So, like, ramping that up by tenfold. It's probably, yeah. I need
probably
to take
by 100.
I need to take the training. I need to take the training.
You've got someone trying to hurt you, not a deer. Well, but still, you get that adrenaline.
We talked about that in pre-roll. We talked about Linda's drawing presentation practice. Yes. She comes across there. And every time that you handle your firearm is an opportunity to properly train.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or it's an opportunity to develop bad, dangerous habits.
Yeah.
Yes. So you get two a day. Whether you realize or not.
Yeah.
When I get home this afternoon or this evening, when I take my firearm off, I come to full presentation from the holster, from my concealment from the holster.
Okay.
In the morning, before I put it in my holster, I punch it out to full presentation. Make sure that things are working right. I press check, make sure that my magazine has not been messed with by gremlins. Make sure that I have round in chamber and safely put my fire in a holster.
Yeah.
That gives me two repetitions a day. 365 days a year. It's a lot. It gets good. The trouble is, people get in a hurry.
Yep.
They skip it, or they don't get that slow, full, proper presentation.
Yep.
And under that stress later on, we can talk a lot about the stress of firearms and how to shoot and how to train. I actually have a 4-hour seminar I teach on it. But that basic preparation, that basic practice, getting in that safe at night. I know that's a danger, so I unlock mine every night.
Yep.
Last thing I do before I go to bed, set my phone down, make sure I've got those things that I need on the table, and unlock the little safe on the nightstand.
Okay.
First thing in the morning,
close it back up.
Yep. Off we go. Don't have to worry about it.
That makes perfect sense. And like, and we were talking too with Zach. So you helped us out with that too. Zach Bourne was in here.
Yes.
And remember he was telling us he bought his first pistol, and he was like, I have this pistol, but like, can I use it in a stressful situation? My wife doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You know? And so we were able to get them in here, and he texted me that night and was like, dude, that was the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you made my father-in-law's night that day. Like, that was awesome to have in here and come shoot. And it was like, yeah, you gotta practice on it. I think my problem was, too, is that before I was working here, I think a lot of people can probably relate to this, too, but I worked in the finance world. I wasn't allowed to have a firearm at my job ever. I mean, even still here, like, we're not to have a firearm at our desk. Excuse me. And so I didn't really have a need. Like, I was like gung-ho about carrying it at first, and then it's like, okay, well, hell, I can't even take it with me. It's just gonna sit in my car. I'm like, what's the point of even having it at this point? You know what I mean? And so I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to that, whether it's their job or whether it's just the way that they live their life. And so that's probably on my bad too. It's like, it's out of sight, out of mind. So it's like, I don't even really think about training with it, if that makes sense. So now, do you see that? People coming in, do you guys see that?
Definitely. We see that. But it's important, you know, and his class preparing for the fight. Talk about that high stress situation, not just in a violent gunfight, but any high stress situation you're in, road rage or argument with someone, what your body does and understanding that process of what happens to your body helps with training. The more training, and we have our basic classes, but then we have more advanced classes where we're yelling at you and pushing you and throwing things at you, because in the real world you're not standing there with a piece of paper and people are yelling at you, screaming at you, trying to grab you.
Yep.
And you mentioned Zach when they're coming in, and I'm really happy with the results of Zach, but we want every customer that comes in here to leave with that same feeling of accomplishment, of understanding. The instructors that I've hired and employ here at Vance Outdoors have three rules that guide everything they have. And those simple rules are simply, does our training make sense?
Yeah.
Does this work for me? The second rule is,
she's down,
does it have value?
Yeah.
We can teach people to fast rope into a hostile situation, but what if our customers are going to do that? No. They're the ones that are home in the middle of the night, in a car, out to dinner with their families, and they're wearing a gun, but they can actually employ it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And the third is, can everybody do it? If I'm teaching or my staff is teaching techniques that can't be employed, we're wasting your time and your money. We're not going to allow that to happen.
No, no. Yeah, and I'm glad you said that too, because, I mean, it's, yeah, it's...
Especially nowadays, it's good to know that because ammo prices are kind of high. The price of the class isn't exactly super cheap, but it's good that you, you know, you spend your money on a quality class, and to have those skills taught to you, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, I should have sat around and hung out for a little bit on Saturday when you guys were in. I had to get back to Santa, or else I was going to. But
okay.
She talks about safety, and you know, all these ladies, were those range guns that they had, or did they bring in their own?
All but one had their own gun.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Because I noticed that they all had the similar slide stops in them, so I was like, okay, I wanted to make sure that these were that. But you know, she had everyone at full draw, and she's going through and talking, and this the poor lady with the photo release. We were talking about the photo recently, and it was like, okay, now you're flagging me with that right now, so if you could not point that at me. It was like, yep. She was like, oh, I'm sorry. But it was awesome. And there was probably, what, we had 20, I want to say at least 20, 25 ladies on Saturday that were
No,
there.
We had 11.
11? It seemed like there was at least 20, but
yeah
it was, that was cool, to come in here and talk about that, so.
Yeah, when people are talking with a gun in their hand, they tend to move that muzzle all over the place, and that's something that we need to be aware of and be cognizant of, paying attention to what we are doing. We are running the gun, and the gun's not ruling us.
Especially when you get out into the real world and you have a position or situation where you have to present that firearm, you're responsible for that finger and that muzzle and where it's at. And if you can't do it in a simple environment that's relaxed and learning, you're absolutely not going to be doing it when things are going crazy out there.
All right, everyone, we need to take a quick break from our conversation with Mark and Linda to thank our show sponsor, Toby Burdett, with Burdett Taxidermy and Legends Big Game Recovery. As we begin this new year, hunting seasons are slowly winding down, and many of you may have taken your target buck or unique game bird. If you're in Ohio or the surrounding states and you want to get some of those memories preserved, give him a call at 740-281-6435. Thanks, everyone. Good luck with the remainder of your hunting season. Now let's get back into the conversation. I kind of touching back on this. So this is kind of one thing that makes us a little bit different too. And we touched on Zach, but so someone comes in. This is the great thing about our store. If someone can come in, you know, 50 yards over there, they can buy their firearm, and they can come over here and they can shoot it that same day, or come back later and shoot it. If you can, let's kind of talk about that buying experience and what you've seen from a customer, or what you would like to see from a customer in terms of a transition from that first purchase to coming in and being at the range.
Absolutely. Even better, if you have two or three or five or six or 10 or 15 different firearms that you're looking at, we have over 300 here at the range that you can choose from. We have a try it before you buy it program. You can come in and try a gun. If you like it, great. We'll take you across the building and sell it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't like it, we've got other options, and we've got a trained staff to help you. And we are seeing an evolution of new shooters come in, and it's very encouraging. And one of the things that my range staff will often ask, if a couple comes in, who is the gun for? Mm-hmm. And it's not to insult anybody, but my wife will not let me pick out her car. She'll let me pay for it, but she won't let me pick it out.
Sure, though.
Well, the same thing with the firearm.
Yeah.
If you're going to be particular about what you drive, you should certainly be particular about what you are going to depend on to protect yourself and your family.
Oh,
sure. So here's your input. Thank you. But let's talk about what she wants, what makes her happy, what he wants, what makes him happy, and how to put them in the right gun for them. On the other end of the store, I want to sell you as many guns as possible.
Sure.
Down here on the training side,
the right one.
I want to sell you the right one that will do what you need.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, because we had that same experience. It was with Anita. So Anita, she was a friend of mine's mother, and she wants to purchase her first pistol, the one that she had. She didn't really care for it. It was a Ruger SR9, I want to say. A little bit bigger for her. And she was asking us, you remember, she said, well, which one do I get, George? Which one do I get? I'm like, Anita, this is your options. what one feels best in your hand. Now, you can't come over and shoot it because we were in Hebron, but don't take... I want the Glock. That's my favorite. I want the 43X. That's what I'd like. That's what I would prefer. But here's a Sig. Here's a Smith. Here's a Taurus. You pick. And I think she ended up with...
Springfield.
Yeah, the Springfield. Mm-hmm. The Hellcat. Yeah, so it's like, here's the features that we have. Here's the deals that we have. Now, but again, coming back to the Obetz location, if I was Anita and I was here with her, okay, here, I'm going to turn right behind us. Let's grab this one. Let's grab this one. Let's get this one. And this one. This one. Okay, now you can go over there and purchase it.
Yeah, holding and shooting are two separate things, you know.
Because every gun's got its own recoil, and it handles a little bit differently.
Yes, and fit is one of the big things we talk about. Not only the fit firearm, but how are you going to carry it, when are you going to carry it. And like I said, we have instructors on staff, we have range staff, and we have excellent salesmen that can help you with and solve those problems and get you in that gun that will work for you. And then we can bring you back down to this side of the building, and we can make you take it apart. We can help you clean it. We can help you with how it functions, and we can help you to carry it. So if you find yourself in that situation where you need to protect yourself or your loved ones, you're capable of doing it.
Yep. Linda.
Yes, sir.
If I'm a customer and I just walk in, let's say I just purchased that pistol across the way here, or I'm coming in for the first time, and you've said this before on your other episode, but what class would you suggest somebody who's first starting out, or even like myself who has experience with using my firearm but not the proper training to the outside of my CCW class, what would be the first, like what's that transition, what's that process look like, where would you start, and kind of how would you progress as you got more experience with it?
Well, I would always start with the introduction to handguns, just to get the basics back in your head again, especially if you're a brand new owner and you don't have any experience. That way you can learn how the firearm functions, where everything is, how it fits in your hand, and then actually shoot it a little bit. Going from there, I would lead into our workshop Wednesday, possibly, which is just, again, a reiteration of safety, how to hold it, and then some instruction in the range. From there, our Weaponcraft Wednesday series is amazing, or the basic handgun one. You learn the same things, but it's important to understand how to draw it from holster safely. You know, I talked about in my other podcast that every morning I draw from holster at least 5 times because I have different outfits on, and I need to make sure I know how to get those clothes out of the way. So that's an important thing to do. And how to reload, because you will be empty at some point.
Oh, yeah.
How to fix those malfunctions, because those happen. You know, multiple targets moving. I have a broken arm. I can only shoot with one hand. So all of those things are important to learn next.
Is there a low light component in the Weaponcraft Wednesday? I can't remember.
There is in Weaponcraft Wednesday 2.0.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
How to hold a flashlight, whether you have a weapon mounted. And we just did one of those a few weeks ago, and everyone learned that the flashlight they had did not work, including the one that was mounted on the firearm because it kept falling off.
Hmm.
Really?
Yes, that's a very important thing too. So we talk about failure, and we don't want to fail in that life-threatening situation. We absolutely encourage failure in training. Mm. Because if you bring gear in that you've never worked with and you take it straight to a gunfight, it's probably going to break on you, or probably not going to do what you expected, or you're probably not going to do what you expected. So come in, we let people fail. I talk about in our classes, a good baseball player, a good hitter, fails 7 out of 10 times. A 300 is a great batting
average. That's Hall of Fame.
But you don't fail when you need it.
Yeah.
And if you've never tested yourself, you've never tested your equipment. That's why we come in. We bring people in the basic, and then we push. And we can't do it all in one day. Mm-hmm. Can't teach you 50 years of experience in a 6-hour class.
Sure.
But we can get you pointed in that direction and where you're going to go and how you're going to do it. And everybody that leaves here leaves with something, and I hope it's more questions.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You do hope it's more questions, because that knows that, yeah, for sure.
And we hope we're giving them the tools to practice at home in between stepping up to that next level class.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dry fire practice is huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Most really good shooters have 10 to 100 dry fire trigger presses for every live fire press they have, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you do it safe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We were just talking a couple weeks ago, Andrew's dry fire, when he's practicing. Obviously, he's in a much different situation, but yeah, a lot.
His basement is target rich. He's got a bunch of targets around every corner, and he can just kind of like set up a course like he's going to shoot. Obviously, he does it safely, but he does a lot of dry fire practice.
It was funny. We had that. So we're talking about Andrew Hyder. He's one of our buyers. We had him on Maddie Bernal's podcast. Mm-hmm. Bernal? I think it's Bernal. Mm-hmm. We had her on that, him on that podcast, and obviously he's a competitive shooter, and it was funny. He came to my mind just now because we were at Santa, and he brought Jax with him, his son, and and we were going to go take this picture, and he's like, how's my gun in the print here? Like, he had an appendix carry, and he was sitting next to Santa. He's like, got to make sure it's all good. So,
Can I hit on that, Andrew, a little bit as a competitive shooter? Andrew's a national-level competitive shooter, and he brings a lot to Vance Outdoors and contributes to our training program. But just our staff, our training staff alone, it's important to talk about that they are various experiences and various levels, but they all have the same goal, is to make our shooters better shooters. Putting people that come for our defense, because not all of our classes are defensive classes; they're just basic running classes. Yep. But we want to be able in there. So we've got, like Linda said, three female instructors that focus, and Linda has been specially trained on how females learn, and she shares that with our male and female instructor staff. I've been training firearms, law enforcement, and military for over 40 years. I'm embarrassed to say that sometimes, but it.
He was born, he was training just like that. Because he's not born.
It's nice. But with that being said, if I don't stay up to date, it's very easy for me to become irrelevant.
Sure.
That's why these people, we have other competitive shooters on our staff that push me to make me better, make me stay where I'm at. I go out for training. I'm sending two of our instructors to a red dot optic pistol instructor course to keep them up and current so they can come back and share it with all of us. And anything, all the time they come out and train, they give us a brief. They give us we work together to make sure that we're relevant, make sure that where we're at, and we can help our customer in what they need. We have military, law enforcement, and civilians that all make up our training staff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's important to touch. I'm glad you said that, because that is another important thing. And even going back to the training aspect of it, too, like, this industry changes so fast all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is coming out. There's new red dots, new optics all the time, new pistols all the time. So being aware of what it is, because in that way, when a customer goes and purchases one, you already know how that gun functions and how that optic functions, and just makes the whole experience that much better.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll use just a very simple that most everybody can relate to. The first time I picked up an AR-15 platform was an M16A1. Yeah. Then I evolved to an M4, got out of the military, got into the highway patrol. We started carrying, I actually got to create and instill the rifle program for the highway patrol, learned there. Now the AR-15, compared to even when that was a little over a decade ago, is the same platform, but completely different. There are so many new options out there, so many things you can do with it. And that's the cool thing about it, because you build one or you buy one, and you can adjust it to anything you want to do.
Yeah, so modular. It's like shoes, man. They're like,
it's adult Legos.
It's adult. that's a clip right there, ladies and gentlemen. AR-15, adult Legos. It really is, though,
it's
man.
True.
The sky's the limit when it comes to one of those things.
Yeah.
We have a build your own AR class here.
Yeah.
We have a basic AR class. We have a Weaponcraft Wednesday AR series. We have a 3-layer AR series system, everywhere from presentation, getting on your shoulder and hitting what you're aiming at with it, to close quarters battle and those type of things that are available with the training. So, we will come in here. We will help you out. We'll help you pick it out. We'll help you build it. We'll help you get it together, whatever you want. We'll bring you on the range, let you shoot it, and help you hit what you're aiming at.
I think the training thing, too, like you touched on earlier, like if you have gear that you haven't trained with yet, that's a big deal, especially when you go from transition from a rifle up to a pistol or whatever, and being able to do that safely and being able to activate your safety every time and all that stuff, it's huge.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just Jordan talked on earlier about, especially people that carry firearms, they carry one, and we're going to go back a little bit, date myself a little bit, but when Ohio first started to concealed carry, after the 5-year or the 4-year expiration, 65% of people renewed.
My wife
the didn't. Other 35% said, well, that's not as much fun as I thought it was. Two pounds of metal strapped to your body is different.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is for people go out and spend $1,000 on their brand new Super Blaster 2000, put it on a $12 nylon holster on a $7 Walmart belt, and wonder why it's not where it's supposed to be and where it goes. So you have to be able to do that. Or as we talked about earlier, ammo prices mm-hmm. are expensive. So you have to figure out where you're at and what you're going, and let us help you get you in that right situation where it is. And trust me, I've got boxes of mistakes at home.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or not mistakes at the time, but technology has made things better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how that's changed so much. Like, I remember when my father-in-law, not date myself too, but when we did introduce the concealed carry, my father-in-law was like the very first one that signed up like that month, right? And, you know, how many pistols has he had since he's done that? You know, I mean, the one that you started with is completely different than the one I'm at now. Even me, you know, I did it, I think I got my concealed in 12 or 13. And, of course, you mentioned the 4-year. My wife and I went to the same class together. I think it was somewhere in Columbus. And we went to the class. Hers is expired. I know she didn't renew it. You know, I renewed mine. You know, at this point, anybody can get one. And so, or just carry in general, constitutional. And so it's like, am I going back to that? I'm not even shooting the same pistol that I had when I started. So it's completely different.
But you touched on something important, too, with constitutional carry. We probably should talk about that because there are some things that people might not know. Because we have constitutional carry, it doesn't mean the same thing as a CCW, CHL license. So you guys want to touch on that a little bit, like what's different between the two?
That's been different since we last talked with you. That hasn't, mm-hmm. That's changed even since the last time you talked. So, yeah.
That changed shortly after we talked. So the biggest thing is if you plan on traveling outside the state with your firearm, you still need to have that concealed carry license.
Yep.
If you have children and you're going on school property, you have to have the license. And then there's some differences in when you're approached by law enforcement. They have to ask now if there's firearms.
Okay.
Everyone has to answer, not just the person that's they're being directed to. So anyone in the group, so to speak, or in the car. Those are the biggest ones, but it's really important to learn. Right, because yes, you can go to the other end of the store and buy all the stuff and then go out in the parking lot, put it together and conceal it, but do you know what you're doing? Do you know how to get it out of the holster? Do you know how to put the magazine in the right direction? Do you know how to put the ammunition in the right direction? Because that happens every day.
Do you know where to carry it and where not to carry it? It could be a felony to carry a firearm into a building if you don't know what you're doing.
And you could be doing that completely on accident. Mm-hmm. Have no idea. No ill intention. You just don't know. And like, what the law doesn't care if you don't know. You know? So, like, even for me, I didn't really worry about it too much because I do have my concealed license. And so I was like, okay, that's cool for everyone. But, like, you know, I know that I can travel now without, you know, certain parameters of different states. I wasn't worried about that. But, like you had mentioned, and this is a big thing too, I live in a rural environment. There's a lot of dads and moms that probably pick their kids up with firearms on them. I mean, a lot. And it's just the way it is. And so, do they know that they're not supposed to?
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, probably not.
Because
probably
even though it's constitutional carry and you don't have to have the license anymore, you still have to know the laws.
Mm-hmm.
Like dropping my son off at daycare this morning, there's a sign on the board. No concealed weapons. Like, there you go.
Right.
Like, that's a prime example. Like,
and there is a sign, but there's no requirement for that sign. There are places that, there are felony places, it's your requirement to know when you can and when you can't. And we offer that here as part of our training. If you have a concealed handgun license, absolutely. If you don't and you choose to carry, absolutely. We support that 100%. With both of those, is there a requirement of responsibility and understanding what you can and can't do? Where you can and can't do it.
Thanks for touching on that too.
Yeah, because if you don't know and you walk in somewhere and that's a felony, you're done. No more firearms.
Yep.
You know, it's huge.
And we do offer that. We offer a 2-hour class on just the law portion.
Okay.
As part of our concealed carry program.
So that's definitely, if anyone's watching, definitely, or listening, I guess, too, look that up too. We'll put links, obviously, with all that information below. We could probably just link the actual training page, the range page, which we'll do that here as well. So
it's important to mention on our range page also, we have two separate drop downs for training. One is concealed carry specific.
Okay.
The other involves all of our firearms training that's not concealed carry. Anywhere from our seminars that are range related or not range related, our build classes, everything is on that. But you have to make sure you're looking at where to go, because we just don't want to clutter it for you.
Oh, for sure. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. So. That's all I had for him today, man. I knew she was gonna. I'm gonna leave here. I'm gonna sign up for a class. Okay, Ben. I'm gonna sign up for a class as soon as I get back to my desk.
You have to commit that to me, not Ben.
Yes. Yeah. He'll keep me responsible though. He sits right beside me. So, Hey, did you do that yet?
Well, do me a favor when you do. Bring your staff and your cameras.
Yeah.
And we'll do this again sometime. We'll share the experiences that you've had and feel like, and our customers, when they come in, we appreciate their feedback. Our training is for them.
And that's a great idea, Mark. We could both do a Weapon Craft Wednesday, like a full series.
Yeah.
And then do another podcast and talk about
our experience.
We're starting one up first of the year. So I've already marked out 3 slots just for you.
All right, I got to remember my passcode here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Before we go, do you guys have anything else you want to cover?
We tell our students, especially, but all of our customers, if they ever have a question, they're part of the Vance Outdoors family. So if we have something we talk about today that you said, hey, I'd like to think about that. Like I said, I'm all about questions. Let us know. Send us an email. Get a hold of us. And we'll follow up with you directly.
Sure.
And if it's a really good question and there's a lot of interest in it, we'll follow up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so definitely. So, again, all the information for the range page as well as our contact information, you can also email thepursuitpodcast@vanceoutdoors.com. That will go straight to Ben and I, and we can forward that information to you as well. And maybe if we have enough of those questions, we can kind of come back on and kind of do an FAQ, or at least maybe just a quick highlight to bring awareness to those questions that you have. Because we did talk about a lot of different classes. You know, I mean, we probably mentioned a dozen classes today. So if any of those sound interesting to you, again, they can hand over to the range page or shoot us a question, and we'll help them out.
Yep.
The one thing that we didn't talk about I'd be remiss if we didn't is we do offer private lessons that are tailored to the customer and their needs. Yep.
That is a good point, because some people are intimidated with the class environment. It's better to get the one-on-one training if you want.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. And the information will tailor to you, but also the instructor. If you are female and prefer a female instructor, we can take that for you. If you, whatever your desire is, we're here to help you out and do everything we can to get you on the right path.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you coming in. And Mark, like I said, having your day off today and swinging in here still. Linda was already here anyway, so no, I'm just kidding.
6 days a week, usually.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys for coming in today and talking about us and bringing awareness to what we offer.
Thank you. It's important to us, and we appreciate the support.
All right, everyone, that is all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mark and Linda. Even as an employee, I wasn't aware of everything they do to keep our customers and range staff safe, and I definitely need to make some time this year to head over and take a few of our training classes. As always, we appreciate you listening. Happy New Year, and until next time, enjoy the pursuit.